Very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 32 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Thursday, 25th March Lord our God, please fill our hearts with peace. Let peace return. O Lord, please bless our hearts with love, our minds with rest, our bonds with unity and trust. Help us to kneel now at your cross. Let peace return. O Lord, refill our lives with gentle words until our homes become sanctuaries, safe harbors, and places of comfort for all who love you and all who put their trust in you. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from Hebrews 7, 1-14. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi, who become priests, to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they also are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. One of the dominant themes from this passage is that of tithing. It is a controversial subject within the Christian church and requires much time and wisdom to deal with, not least because many pastors and founders of new religious movements are using biblical proof texts, mostly from the Old Testament, to extort money from their followers in the name of tithes. They claim that if you don't pay tithes to them or to their religious organizations, you will never succeed in any sphere of life, and you would never find peace. I don't have enough time to deal with this subject, but would rather examine the meaning of Melchizedek. The writer to the Hebrews uses two passages from the Old Testament to show who Melchizedek is: Psalm 110, verse 4, and Genesis 14, 18 to 20. In the Genesis story and in our text, Melchizedek is a strange figure. There is no record of his life, his birth, his death, or his descent. He simply appears and gives Abraham bread and wine, which sounds so sacramental. He blesses Abraham, and then he vanishes from the stage of history with the same unexplained suddenness as he arrived. There is little wonder that in the mystery of this story, the writer to the Hebrews found a symbol of Christ. Now, the first meaning of Melchizedek's name is King of Righteousness, and because he was King of Salem, his name also means King of Peace. The order is significant and suggests that righteousness should always come before peace. So without righteousness, there can be no peace. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Or in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So righteousness first, and then peace. So let's think of peace and recognize the fact that most of life is about seeking peace, but that we often look for peace in wrong ways. We look for peace in escape. It is always possible to find some kind of peace by the route of escape, by running away from the problem. But it is never a lasting peace, because there is always the necessity to return to the matter. Escape is not wrong. Sometimes it is necessary to take a leave of absence if health and sanity are to be preserved. But that would only be palliative and not a cure. Then we look for peace in evasion or in avoiding the problem. Many people seek peace by pushing their problems into the back of their minds or by giving a blind eye to them. This leads to at least two problems. The first is that no one ever solved a problem by refusing to examine it. No matter how much we want to avoid it, it is still there, sometimes staring us in the face. Problems are like diseases. If we fail to deal with them in good time by finding treatment, they get worse. And then we come to a stage when the disease has become incurable or the problem insoluble. The second thing is even more serious because psychologists teach us that there is a part of the mind which never stops thinking. With our conscious minds, we may be avoiding a problem, but our subconscious mind would be reminding us about it. So far from bringing peace, avoidance is most destructive of peace. Then there is the way of compromise. It is possible to arrive at some kind of peace through compromise. That is an agreement or settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. It is one of the commonest methods in the world, and diplomats appreciate compromises in international relations. However, we may compromise for a long time, but we will need to take some responsibility and resolve the problem if we want to sleep at night. Compromise, therefore, inevitably leaves us with so much tension, even if a more or less hidden tension, and tension inevitably means a gnawing worry. Therefore, compromise really is the enemy of peace. Ayn Rand supports the evidence from another perspective. She writes, "In any compromise between food and poison, it is death that can win. In any compromise between good and evil, it is only evil that can profit. Then finally, there is the way of righteousness. We would never find peace until we are able to seek it through righteous dealings. And to be righteous is to do the will of God. That is what Jesus Christ did as he faced the cross. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane with a soul that was under such tension that he sweated blood. In the garden, he accepted God's will for his life, and he came out at peace with God and at peace with himself. To take the way of righteousness, to accept God's will, is to find the way to lasting peace. Many people are seeking peace through fruitless means. They turn to pleasure, drugs, alcohol, immorality, wealth, and other dead-end avenues. Instead of facing our problems, we try to avoid them, or to escape from them, or to make little prudential compromises, sometimes with the devil, things which haunt us in the long run. Pursuing such paths will never bring us peace. Instead, we find peace when we follow the path that God has given us in his word. Those who keep the law of God in their hearts and obey it in their actions add peace to their lives. Rather than seeking peace as an end, we should seek to follow Christ. When we do, we will find that peace comes as a side effect that we receive from him. Dear Father of all, help us to see the world through your eyes without dividing lines, to see just land and water, mountains, trees, and skies. Help us to lay aside our class and skin, our background and race, to know our shared humanity, to see a brother or sister in every face. Help us to wear forgiveness, to lay down our pride and pain, to seek first to understand, Lord, may peace and reconciliation reign. Help us to feel your compassion so we can freely forgive. May we weave new threads of grace and cause seeds of hope to live. Help us to play our own small part with acts of kindness and of care. May we arise as your children and seek out what is just and fair. Cause us to make new bonds of trust with neighbors near and far, and so to fashion a world where peace comes to earth, because you are our peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.